Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. We're talking this week and next about what God said to us at our Sunday afternoon prayer, June 29, 2008. We'd been praying about the upcoming election. We'd been praying about our nation. We'd been praying about Israel and the world. God interrupted us with a strong word from heaven, even the prophet's ministry, and he said, "There is one thing that will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God." We're looking at this week, what does it mean to save America? Save it from what? Every person be born again? No, lots of people will be born again in an awakening. But he's particularly speaking about the judgment of nations as nations. There are judgments for three groups of people according to the word of God. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give no one offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Three groups of peoples. The Jews, the Gentiles, the Old Testament word is goyim, and it means the nations, or the church of God. The Jews, the nations, and the church. Or the Jews, the nations, and the body of Christ. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, in his book Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage, says it like this on page 18. Notice that there are three classes of people addressed in the Word of God. Number one, the Jews, God's covenant people. Number two, the church, God's own family. And number three, the Gentiles, heathen people, everyone who's not either in the church or a Jew. Three groups of people. In the Old Testament, there are only two. And in their order of their appearance, we find them like this. The nations are introduced to us first. They are introduced in Genesis chapter 10. Love has brought judgment. It has brought a flood and destroyed all the people of the earth except Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their wives, because the knowledge of God was about to disappear from the earth. When they got off the boat, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, their sons are mentioned to us in, are listed for us in chapter 10, and we see this word, nations, come to the fore. First, we are given the sons of Japheth. And verse 5 says, "By these were the isles of the Gentiles, divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations." Then we have the sons of Ham. And then we have the sons of Shem. And it tells us which nations come from each one. The last verse says, verse 32, "These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations. By these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood." 70 foundational nations are mentioned. And of course, every nation we know today came from these 70 nations. God had given instructions. He had given a judgment, if you please, on what they should do after they got off that boat. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Can you imagine getting off the ark and there are only 8 people on the face of this whole globe? And God told to them, "You be fruitful, you multiply, you fill up the whole globe." Did they do that? No, they did not. The flood occurred 1,996 years after the creation of Adam. And 340 years after that, after the flood, this is what happened. Genesis chapter 11, they did not go over the whole earth. They found a plain in the land of Shinar, that's Babylon, and they dwelt there. They said one to another, "Let's make a tower, let's make a brick, let's make a city, a tower that will go into heaven. And let us make us a name," verse 4, "lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth." God's will, God's judgment was for them to be scattered upon the face of the whole earth, but they rebelled. God went down and confused their language so that they could not do what they had imagined to do. The word Babel is the word for confusion. Now, we're going to go back a chapter and find out just what or who caused them to rebel. And we see in chapter 10 that Cush, verse 8, begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. And out of that land went forth Ashur, and builded Nineveh, and the cities Rehovot and Calah. I'm reading to you now from the Stone edition of the Chumash. These are the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, and this is the commentary on it. Before Nimrod, there were neither wars nor reigning monarchs. He subjugated the Babylonians until they crowned him, after which he went to Assyria and built great cities. The Torah calls him a mighty hunter, which Rashi and most commentators interpret figuratively. Nimrod ensnared men with his words and incited them to rebel against God. His first conquest, which laid the basis for his subsequent empire building, was Babel, which became the center of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian Empire. It was one of the greatest cities of the ancient world. In ancient Babylon, under Nimrod, there was a mighty monarchy which arose. Then there came later a Neo-Babylonian empire, and it was the empire of Nebuchadnezzar. So we saw when the nations were introduced in Genesis. Now we see the Jews introduced in Genesis chapter 12. Here he calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he calls them to a promised land. He tells him to work with him. Abraham becomes the father and progenitor of the nation of Israel. God separated this nation. He said he would bless those who blessed Israel, and he would curse those who cursed them. He set them in a very strategic spot in a land bridge. If somebody asks you what continent is Israel on, you'll have to think a minute, because it's on a land bridge really between three continents. It's technically in Asia. But if you drew in this ancient map as like a three-leaf clover with two leaves at the top, two leaves at the top, the one at the left being Europe, the one at the right being Asia, and the one at the bottom, Africa. They are a land bridge between these nations. God had a plan for them to reveal himself to the nations. According to Deuteronomy 28, they were to live in that land and be blessed. The blessings of God in the first 14 verses. And it says that when people come through that land, they're going to see God and know that he blesses them. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the basket, blessed in the store. These were material blessings that the nations were to be able to see on Israel. However, he said, if you don't do that, that's plan A, live in the land and be blessed. If you don't, we're going to plan B. Plan B is that you will be scattered upon the face of the earth, and just before the return of the Messiah, you will be gathered back to your promised land. That gathering back is told in many prophets. All the prophets speak of it. But Jeremiah particularly talks about it in Jeremiah 30, verse 1. The word of the Lord came saying, thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Jeremiah 31:10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. It's so interesting. All the prophets speak of the end gathering, but Jeremiah chapter 23 says that it's going to come just before the Lord establishes the Messiah King. He will gather them from the north. Jeremiah 23:7. The days come that they'll no more say, the Lord lives which brought them up out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives which brought them from the north. He will do this just before he raises up. Verse 5, 23:5, David, a righteous king, a king shall reign and prosper. In those days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And the name of the Lord shall be called Jehovah Sitkanu, the Lord, our righteousness. So he prophesies this great ingathering of the Jews. But first they were scattered. The scattering came at the hands of the Babylonians. Satan was glad to do it. Babylon, since Nimrod, had a long history. There was ancient Babylon, Neo-Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. When the Jews were carried off into Babylon, it was 1400 to 1500 years after the flood. Daniel chapter 2 gives us a great image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. It had a head of gold, King Nebuchadnezzar the Babylonian, arms of silver, belly of copper, legs of iron, and toes of iron and clay. Daniel interprets this to King Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, this was the Babylonian system. It started with the head, the king of Babylon, went down through the Medo-Persians, went down through Greece, went down through the Roman Empire, and into the toes, the European Union is the old empire revived. Be sure to come to our eschatology school in April on the book of Daniel. Enroll now. I'll tell you how at the end of the broadcast. But that Babylonian system, which started with Nimrod, which started with Nebuchadnezzar, in the book of Daniel, it says that you saw this image, O King Nebuchadnezzar, until a rock was cut out without hands. That meant man didn't have anything to do with it. And it struck that image on its feet. And the whole Babylonian system came crashing to the ground. We see that that Babylonian system is judged in the book of Revelation. Turn to Revelation, if you have your Bible there, Revelation chapters 17. In Revelation 17 and 18, we're going to read a little bit about it. This whore is judged. And it says, this great Babylonian whore, verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Jeremiah 25 speaks of how all the nations drink of what Babylon began, but that whole system will be destroyed. And we see that when it is destroyed, it mentions the merchants of the earth. Verse 3 of chapter 18, all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Verse 11, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn. Verse 15, the merchants of these things were made rich by her. We read also that the merchants of the earth, in verse 23, were the great men of the earth. By thy sorceries, all nations were deceived. It's not always been that the merchants of the earth were the great men of the earth, but they are now. And we are seeing that judgment is coming because people did not keep the righteous judgments of the Lord. The Lord put forth his judgments on how to deal righteously. Leviticus 19:35, you shall do no unrighteousness in your weights and your measures. You shall observe my judgments in your weights and your measures. Deuteronomy 25:16. Those who have unjust weights and measures do unrighteously and are an abomination unto the Lord. Proverbs 16:11. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to commit wickedness in these areas. Micah 6:10. Are there yet the treasuries of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with wicked balances and with a bag of deceitful weight? Folks, what we've known is a judgment on not keeping God's true judgments on commerce. This is Billy Brim saying shalom until